Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is recording number 110 in the series entitled Self-Actualization or Self-Transcendence. Which Mashiach are you waiting for? This class was recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York during the winter of 5761.
So this shiur, as all of our prayers these days, is dedicated to our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land, in Eretz Yisrael. In this chapter, the 41st chapter of the Tanya, the Alter Rebbe discusses the two pillars upon which the spiritual experience of Yiddishkeit is based, Yira and Ahava, awe and love, affection. The foundation, the beginning, the core and the root of Yiddishkeit, Alter Rebbe claimed, must be the sense of Yira, of awe, of Kabbalah soul, acceptance of the divine yoke, because only with that prerequisite am I actually serving Hashem. Am I a servant of Hashem, who is my master? On the other hand, in order that the bird should soar, it needs two wings. The wing of awe is not enough. It requires also the wing of love. In order that the spirituality, the sanctity of a mitzvah or of Torah or of davening should be revealed and exposed, it's necessary that the Jew be not only a servant, but also a child. The Jew must arouse within himself, before doing a mitzvah, before engaging in learning or davening, at least, if not more, the embedded, intrinsic love concealed within the heart of every Jew, so that the performance of the mitzvah that follows this arousal is permeated with a feeling, or at least a desire, a conviction to connect with Hashem. The Jew evokes within himself that inner will to connect with Hashem, and then he goes ahead to do the mitzvah or to daven or to learn the Torah in order to connect to Hashem, which that connection can be achieved only by means, through the means of Torah and mitzvahs. But following that, the Alter Rebbe continued quoting the statement of our sages in the tractate Brachos, Daf Mem Tes, that La'olam al yotzei adam atzmo min haklal. Man should never exclude himself from the community, from the collective body of the Jewish people. And thus, when the Jew proceeds to do a mitzvah, or to go learn Torah, or to pray, he or she must meditate about another, an additional point, and arouse a feeling in the heart or in the mind to another aspect as well. And that other aspect he defined was the concept of Yichud Kutshebrichu Shchinte, the unison, the fusion of the Holy One, blessed be He, and the Divine Presence. And the explanation he gave was, albeit very briefly and concise, as usual in the Tanya, that Torah and mitzvahs can be significant to the Jew because of two reasons, or from two perspectives: as an individual elevation, or as a cosmic experience, as a means for my personal growth, for my individual bond with Hashem, or as something which creates a revolution in the entire Jewish people, in the entire cosmos, in all of history, and in all of the worlds. So till here, till the two dots, till the period on page 114, on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, till the Ach Amnam, the Alter Rebbe guided the Jew and explained to the Jew how he ought to attempt to arouse before Torah and Mitzvahs the inner passion of the Jew that he wants to be connected with Hashem, and therefore on the deeper level he craves Torah, he craves Mitzvahs, because through Torah and Mitzvahs, which constitute Hashem's will and wisdom, he connects with Hashem. Here, the Alter Rebbe, from there, from the point, from the period, which we began learning last week, the Alter Rebbe begins discussing a new element that the Jew must arouse a passion to something new. A passion, a concern, a feeling in the heart, or at least in the mind, to create through the mitzvah a cosmic event, or even a metacosmic event, something that transcends the cosmos, which is achieved through each mitzvah. And this awareness and this passion is expressed in the famous words many Jews recite before many mitzvahs, some mitzvahs, once a day or whatever. And that is, l'shem, before you go do the mitzvah, you say, l'shem yichud, kutche brichu, shchinte b'shem kol Yisrael. Why am I doing this mitzvah? For the sake of the fusion, of the integration, of the unity between Kodesh Brichu, between the Holy One, blessed be He, and His Shechina, His presence. And I'm doing this B'Shem Kol Yisrael in the name of all of the Jewish people. What does this mean? I began discussing this last week, but it was very brief, and a lot of you remained, for good reason, with questions afterwards. Is there some type of fight between Kodesh Brichu and Shchinte that you have to create a unity between them? Are they not on speaking terms? Over what exactly are they arguing? Kodesh Brichu is the expression in Kabbalah for Hashem Himself, or rather for the inner presence of Hashem. Kodesh Brichu, the Holy One, blessed be He. Holiness denotes aloofness, separation, transcendence, exaltation. Kedusha in Hebrew denotes separation, aloofness. Shchinte, Shchina, on the other hand, which is also defined in Kabbalah and Chassidus as Ruach Piv, as Hashem's verbal communication, so to speak, or the breath of His mouth, is the term we use to describe the divine energy that contracts itself and articulates itself or defines itself as the battery and engine of the universe. And that's why it is defined as Shechina, from the term Shochein, as the Alter Rebbe put it, Shesheichenes umislabeshes toich almin la'achayosin ulekaimon, we're denoting that element of the divine energy or presence that dwells, that manifests itself within the worlds. That is the divine energy that vibrates through every speck of dust, every blaze of grass, every human heart, every grazing animal, every nook and cranny, every nuance. An element of the universe is permeated by some aspect of Shechina. It's the divine energy that tailors itself to the particular features and identity of every creature and thing, granting it its particular design and character. Versus Kutshebrichu, which transcends the universe and the universes and the creatures contained within it. According to Kabbalah, the very process of creation consists of the fact that Hashem created a gap, a disparity, a distinction between these two elements, between Kodesh Baruch Hu and Shechinteh. Or more precisely, not a real gap, Hashem Echad, Hashem is one, but He allowed that from the point of view of the recipients of the Shechinah energy, they should not readily perceive how the Shechinah is one with Kodesh Baruch Hu. From their perspective, there is a gap, there is a disparity between these two elements. Now, this gap, as mentioned, is integral to the very process of creation. And thus, it exists on all levels. From the highest levels till the lowest levels. On the highest levels, this gap expresses itself in the fact, for example, what the Alter Rebbe explained at length in chapter 21, that even in the highest spiritual worlds it is not felt how Hashem's speech, how Ruach Piv, how the Shechinah, Hashem's speech, so to speak, that creates and sustains all of the universes, is still submerged within the speaker, within Kodesh Baruch Hu, and therefore in truth does not have a presence or an identity similar to human speech, when it's still submerged within the emotion that produces it. The words have no presence, have no name, have no reality outside of the emotion. The presence of words, the significance of words, begins. They assume an identity only after leaving the speaker. But as part and parcel of the emotion, they have no identity outside of the emotion. We spoke then at length, if somebody asks you what you're feeling, you don't tell them, I'm experiencing in my heart two feelings, two elements. First of all, I'm experiencing a very profound love towards you. And in addition to that, also the spelling of L-O-V-E, those letters. Although the feeling can be articulated in letters, but the letters have no presence. Words are valueless there. They don't have an identity. When the speech leaves the person, here they assume an identity outside of the speaker. Even the highest worlds don't, in the case of Hashem, even after He spoke the worlds into being, even after the words spoke the worlds into being, they never left the speaker. Leis hasar pandemine, there is no space devoid of the very speaker, of His intimate self of Kodesh Baruch Hu, and therefore Shekhinah and everything created by Shekhinah really never assumes any identity. If that unity of Shechinah and Kodesh Baruch Hu would be perceived, there would be no element of self-consciousness. Even the highest, most refined, most spiritual, most godly self would not exist. It would be readily perceived, as it is from Hashem's point of view, that there is He and there is none else beside He. The disparity between Kodesh Baruch Hu and Shechinah allows Shechinah to have an independent presence, and thus everything it creates to have a presence, even if it's a godly presence. On a lower level, the disparity, the gap between Kodesh Baruch Hu and Shechinah expresses itself in the fact Shechinah descends from one level to another level to another level. It expresses itself in the fact that Shechinah assumes the veil of a spiritual self-consciousness. The very existence of a spiritual self-consciousness, of a spiritual seeker, of a spiritual thinker, of a spiritual feeler, where the Shechinah is not totally perceived as an expression of Kodesh Baruch Hu, is already a lower level, again, that comes from the gap between them. And then there is a lower level, where the Shechinah assumes a veil of psychology, of biology, of nature, of history, of politics. Ask people, why does this and this happen? Because it's nature. Why is the world where it is now? Because of history. Shechinah assumes various veils. Over here, the disparity is even more powerful. One does not recognize that the Shechinah comes from Hashem. The Shekhinah, the divine energy, assumes the veil of politics, of nature, of history, of human biology, whatever it may be. You don't even perceive that the speech comes from a speaker. You don't even perceive that it's divine speech. And then there is the greatest tragedy, when the Shekhinah is degraded so low that it assumes the veil of evil. Which means that it becomes so concealed in certain realities or in certain people that negativity can receive nourishment from the Shekhinah, exist from it by its virtue, and the Shekhinah remains silent. And here the disparity between Kodesh Baruch Hu and Shekhinah has reached its zenith, its peak. As he discussed in chapter 22 in Tanya. But in any case, the story of our universe on all levels, from the highest to the lowest, is the story of the separation between Kodesh Baruch Hu and Shekhinah, between the intimate presence of Hashem and the divine energy that vibrates through the universes. The Shekhinah is in need for desperate liberation, for redemption. This is parenthetically. This is how one of the explanations of Chassidus to the drama that occurs between Yaakov and Rachel and Leah in last week's and yesterday's parsha, Parshas Vayetze. The story on the face value is a very enigmatic and absurd episode. Now, Chassidus explains that Leah, it's based on a Zoya. The Zoya says in Parshas Va'era that the secret of Rachel and Leah is that Rachel was Alma Dizgalia and Leah was Alma Dizkasya. Rachel was the revealed world and Leah was the concealed world. Leah is symbolic of Kodesh Baruch Hu, of the transcendental, concealed, aloof energy of Hashem. Rachel personifies and embodies the Shekhinah, the conspicuous, revealed presence of Hashem, which is tailored to the consciousness of the universes. It says in Kabbalah, Rabbi Nachum Azariah of Fanu, the Ramemi Panu, in his Sefer Yoinus Elam writes, in chapter 5, that Rigamatria, the numerology of the word Rachel, of the name Rachel, is Vayihi Oyr, and there was light. Rachel resembles the conspicuous, luminescent, exposed energy of Hashem. Vayar Hashem kisnua Leah. Leah is despised, so the Alter Rebbe explains. Leah is inaccessible. It's very difficult to appreciate Leah. Leah exemplifies a transcendental, concealed, very deep light. Rachel is yifas toya v'yifas mara, is shapely and beautiful. Rachel is the exposed light. The Zohar says that's the reason why Leah was buried in a cave and Rachel was buried on the road. Kodesh Baruch Hu was concealed. It's in a cave. The Shekhinah is that element that's present in the universe. So Yaakov interred Rachel on the road on Beis Lachem in an exposed place. One second. Now this is expressed in the very term Rachel. What does Rachel mean in Hebrew? A ewe, sheep, a ewe. Zogdal Tereb in the third parashas Maaseh, he quotes the pasuk in Yeshayah and Gimel. In Yeshayah, in chapter 53, he describes the suffering of the Jewish people and of Mashiach, and he describes it in the following words. Uchirachel lefnei goyzezeh ne'elama v'lo yiftach piv. Like a ewe that is silent before its shearers, he did not open his mouth in the midst of the pain. Zagdal Tereb in Lekutei Torah and Parashas Maaseh say that this is the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah allows the negative forces of the universe, the klipos, to shear its hair, to become parasitic and take in its energy, because there's nothing existing in the universe that doesn't get energy from Hashem. And nevertheless, the Shekhinah is silent. It's like Rachel. Ki Rachel lefnei goyzezeh. Negative energies only get their vitality from God through here. It's like shearing off the here from the rachel, from the you, which is a very minute level of energy. The here contains a very minute level of the soul. That's why it's not painful to sever it from the body, unlike the other limbs, which contain a very intense dosage of spiritual energy of the soul. And rachel, the rachel is silent, the rachel is quiet. And that's the paradox and the tragedy of this world, that the Shekhinah comes down so low and it's so separated from Kodesh Baruch Hu, that it's silent in the presence of evil, which combats Shekhinah in the most powerful way, shearing it here and utilizing it for their purposes and their benefits and their destructive causes and schemes and so on and so forth. And the Shekhinah remains silent. V'rachel ba'im hatzayin, zok the pasuk in Vayetzeh. Rachel is coming with the flock. Rachel appears with the sheep. Vayihi kashera Yaakov is Rachel. When Yaakov sees Rachel, vayishak Yaakov l'Rachel vayises kaila vayefk. Yaakov kisses Rachel and he begins weeping. Zagdal to Rebbe in Tanya, in a few chapters, in Tanya chapter 45, Yaakov, embodying the attribute of compassion, of empathy, of rachamim, weeps for Rachel, which is the Shekhinah. His entire intention and goal is to elevate Rachel, to liberate the Shekhinah, and therefore he kisses her, which is symbolic of imbuing in the Shekhinah an intense level of energy. Neshikin is his dapkus rucha berucha, the spirit of the kisser connects with the spirit, with the inner breath of the one that is kissed. And that is the relationship between Yaakov and Rachel. Zogt Chassidus that Yaakov naturally belongs to Leah. Yaakov naturally is connected to Leah. Tzadikim daimon lebayrim, tzadikim resemble their creator. Yaakov and Kabbalah and Chassidus resembles, is a metaphor, so to speak, for the essence of Hashem that transcends Kodesh Baruch Hu and transcends Shekhinah, and his natural space is with Leah. Leah is an abode of transcendental holiness. That's where Yaakov's natural space is. The profound relationship that exists between Yaakov and Rachel is due to the tension that exists between them. Since the Shekhinah is in Galus, so the relationship between Yaakov and Rachel is unnatural. There's a major tension, and the tension is what generates the powerful attraction between them. So Rachel works 7 years. Yaakov works 7 years to liberate Rachel, to liberate the Shekhinah, to create the unity between Kodesh Baruch Hu and Shekhinah, and in the last moment it evades him, and he remains with his natural mate, which is Leah. And you'll realize that throughout the Torah, the relationship between Yaakov and Leah, with all its downs, seems very, very stable. There's never a fight between them. The fight is only between Yaakov and Rachel. Vayichar af Yaakov v'Rachel. He never got angry with Leah. And Leah and Yaakov were naturally one. There was no problem there. Vayev Yaakov is Rachel. Yaakov's agenda, Yaakov's deepest ambition was to unite with the Shekhinah, with Rachel, which went into exile. And the depth of the love came because of the depth of the tension. It's interesting, in Tikkun Chatzos, in the prayers that many Jews recite at midnight, there's Tikkun Rachel and there's Tikkun Leah. There are those prayers that are connected to Rachel and those that are connected to Leah. You begin with Tikkun Rachel. What's Tikkun Rachel? It begins with the capital in Tehillim. Al Naris Bavil Sham Yeshavnu Gam Bachinu. We sat and wept at the rivers of Babylonia. It continues with, if I'm Yeshaya, that's in Yeshaya. It continues with the chapter in Tehillim. Elekim Bo Goyim Ben Achalasecha Nosnu Asnivlas Avadecha Machaleif Hashemayim. They gave the corpse of your servants as food for the birds. It continues with Eicha, Al Zeha Yadavu Libeinu, Aleila Chashchu Einenu. Because of these martyrs, our heart is so painful, our eyes were darkened. Hashiveinu Hashem Alecha V'Nashuva, Hashem, please return us. Tikkun Leah, which you say even on the days that you don't say Tachnun. Even Shabbos Yom Tov Tikkun Rachel, you don't say on those days. Right away starts, Su'u Sharim Rasheichem V'Nasu Pischeilim V'Yavim Alecha Kavait. Open the gates, let the King of Glory come. Ka'ayel tarig alafike mayim, like a... what's the ayel? The ram. that melts away at the streams of water, that pines and yearns, Kei nafshi sarag elecha lakim, so my soul yearns for you, Hashem, continues with Yismuchu v'ranan l'umim, the nations should celebrate and exalt. That's Tikkun Leah. And that's the major difference between Rachel and Leah. And Chassidus explains that's what Tekane Rachel b'achaysa. Rachel experienced envy from her sister. So in the discourses of the Alter Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek, they explain this like the lower waters weeping. Weeping to connect with the higher waters. It says in Zohar, the lower waters, when they were separated, were crying, Anan be'in l'meve, Kadamalka, we want to also be in the presence of the king. That's what Rachel represents. Rachel represents that divine energy that enters into exile, that enters into the universe. And it's exiled on all levels. And that is what Yaakov wants to bond with. Creating that fusion between Kodesh Brichu and Shchinte. And here we have the element that Alter Rebbe addresses here. The famous Pasuk in Yirmiyeh, Lamed Aleph, the Navi says, Koil b'rama nishma, nehi b'chi samrurim, Rachel mevaka al baneha. A voice was heard on high, wailing, weeping profusely. Rachel is weeping for her children, ki einenu, because they're gone. Another element of Shechina is that Shechina is the fountainhead of the souls of the Jewish people. Rachel is the mother, the womb, so to speak, in which all of the souls are one. And then when they leave the Shechina, they separate and manifest themselves within distinct bodies. And the soul also goes down into exile. And for that, Rachel cries as well. So in any case, Kodesh Baruch Hu and Shechinte are separated. And Yaakov wants to marry so much Rachel to create that fusion between Kodesh Baruch Hu and Shechinte. Now in our world, which is generally a product of Shechina, there's only one expression of Kodesh Baruch Hu, of the transcendental energy of Hashem. And what is that? Torah and mitzvahs. A Torah and mitzvahs are the intimate inner will and wisdom of Hashem that transcends all of the contractions, all of the concealments, all of the compressions. Hashem in his deepest space, so to speak, is expressed. That space is expressed in Torah and in mitzvahs. The Jew who studies Torah or observes mitzvahs, that Jew himself embodies Shechina. A, the source of his soul is the Shechina. B, the power of his speech, the spiritual force and vitality that's animating him and allowing him to speak the words, to pray with these words, to do this deed, comes from Shechina, comes from the divine energy that is present in the worlds. Thus, the Alter Rebbe says, the moment I do a mitzvah, the moment I study a word of Torah, the moment you go ahead and you daven, at that moment is what you can define as a matching moment. Kodesh Baruch Hu and Shechinte unite. I, the Jew, who embodies Shechina, does a mitzvah or studies Torah, at that moment there was an integration, there was a shidduch, there was a unity between Kodesh Baruch Hu and Shechinte. For that brief moment, we have a matching experience in all of the worlds. It brings in an energy of healing into all of the universes. It's like you ignite an electrical current that travels through all of the universes and illuminates them all, from the highest levels to the lowest levels. It's like the mitzvah down here has like that domino effect. And this electrical current of unity, of oneness, permeates reality on all levels. It's a moment of fusion. It's a moment of completion. It's a moment of oneness. It's a moment when the souls of all the Jewish people, which are all engraved and molded in the Shechina, become one with Kodesh Baruch Hu, and Kodesh Baruch Hu and Shechinte, for that moment, are actually fused into a seamless whole. So Zogda Alter Rebbe, Al Yoytzi Adam Es Atzmei Min HaKlal. A person should never take himself out from the klal, from the body of the Jewish people, which means don't identify yourself only as an individual person with your individual problems, seeking to connect with spirituality. But as the Alter Rebbe interprets the Gemara, recall the fact that you're a member of Shechina, that you embody the Shekhinah. And because you and all of the Jewish souls are one in the womb of the Shekhinah, and therefore a mitzvah that I do is not just an individual phenomenon in my life, but it's a cosmic event, and a metacosmic event. The Shekhinah on all the levels becomes one with Kodesh Baruch Hu. I project the Shekhinah, you project the Shekhinah, and your mitzvah, my mitzvah, is symbolic and achieves the unity of Shekhinah on all its levels and layers with Kodesh Baruch Hu. And before you do a mitzvah, the Alter Rebbe says, you ought to evoke this passion in your heart, or at least in your mind, to evoke an interest, a passion, a concern, not just that I want to connect with Hashem and that's why I want to do the mitzvah, but I want that Shekhinah should connect with Hashem and that's why I'm about to do the mitzvah. L'shem yichud kutsha brichu shchinte. I'm interested that kutsha brichu should become one with shchinte, but shem kol yisrael, representing all of the Jewish people, because Shekhinah is that source, that fountain that all the souls are one. Yes. Just as it's in the positive, it's also in the negative. It also affects the Shekhinah and the entire people, yeah.
If he doesn't have in mind B'Shem Kol Yisrael, is he still enjoying Kol Chai Yisrael?
If he doesn't have in mind B'Shem Kol Yisrael, again, just like a mitzvah is a mitzvah when you have in mind or you don't have in mind. But in order to expose its intense energy is only through the intention of the human being. So to expose this element of the mitzvah is only through the human intention that precedes it.
Right.
Yes. Now let's continue inside. We are up to on page 114, Daf Nun Zayin Amid Beis. It's interesting. Alter Rebbe says something very interesting in Torah of Parshas Vayetze. He says that in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, both energies of Leah and Rachel were both present in Eretz Yisrael, in the Holy Land, and the energy of Leah, she would communicate to Rachel. And Rachel is always exposed. And therefore, there was such intense holiness in the Holy Land. We had the Beis HaMikdash. And you had the prophets and so on and so forth. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Rachel went into exile. And Leah remained alone in the Holy Land. Now, Leah is totally concealed. Leah is the transcendental energy. And therefore, most people in the Holy Land cannot experience real spirituality, certainly not like in the past. But on the other hand, a Jew who is sensitive and can open himself up to the transcendental energy of Kodesh Baruch Hu can experience now a godliness in Eretz Yisrael that couldn't be experienced even during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, because then Leah's energy was channeled through Rachel. And that compromised its atomic intensity. And now it's Leah herself. And the Alter Rebbe says, and that's why the Arizal, when he lived in Tzfas in the 16th century, Tiffin Golos, in the depth of exile, the Arizal conceived and perceived those levels of spirituality and godliness that the greatest tzaddikim of previous generations didn't conceive, even in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, because he had Leah herself. But on the other hand, in the diaspora you have Rachel. So the Tzemach Tzedek, in his footnotes on the Maimer Rad, he says, now in the early generations of the diaspora, Rachel was in exile, but in a less dense veil. And therefore, Hayu Chachamim Gedolim, you had the Tanoim and the Amirayim and the great, great Jewish sages and scholars. But as the exile continues, Rachel deals with the lower debris and more dense elements of exile, and thus there is a lesser light in exile in the diaspora coming from Rachel as well, because the Shekhinah is more darkened and veiled, which is Rachel. But the purpose, what Yaakov wants is, he wants to transform the world. He doesn't want that Shekhinah should be separated. That was his obsession with Rachel. And this, the Alter Rebbe says, must be the obsession of every Jew before he goes ahead to do a mitzvah. And now let's continue on page 114. The first line of the skinny lines on the bottom, close to the bottom of the page.
That's why. I assume.
It's a whole other parsha. Va'af. Va'af. I'll The Rebbe raises here a very characteristical question. V'av sheliyos kavana zua mitis belibui. And although, in order that this kavana, this intent, should be sincere in his heart, that his heart should truly desire this higher union between the Kodesh Brichu and Shchinte. So in order that one should really desire this unity, his heart must harbor within it an awesome love for Hashem alone. And he emphasizes, in order that this intent should be sincere in his heart, that his heart should truly desire. If you'll ask me, or I'll ask anybody present here, would you like that there should be Yichud Kodesh Brichu Shchinte? What will you answer? Why not? It's a cost me geld. I mean, why not? It costs you money. I mean, of course. It's not a problem. No big deal. Why should you want to? Gesunte Shchinte should get along with Kodesh Brichu. No problem. But if you think, do I really want you to Shchinte? Am I ready to pay a price for it? It's not so simple, Alter Rebbe says. If you think that you really want it, just to, before you do a mitzvah, to think about the words, I want Kodesh Brichu and Shchinte should be united. It's easy, everybody can do it. But to evoke a passion for it, that my heart should truly desire this unity, at least my mind should truly desire it, as we spoke previous weeks, the two types of emotions, emotional emotions and intellectual emotions, which is an important component in the Alter Rebbe's teachings in Tanya. This is already another story. In order that somebody should really want Kodesh Brichu and Shchinte to fuse, he must harbor in his heart an awesome love l'Hashem levade, to Hashem alone. And he continues.
As far as I'm concerned, what it looks like, that every time any kind of problem that's gone, anything in any kind of university, any kind of hospital, whatever it is, and a yid is not in control of it, that's Shechina Begalus. Was
on some level.
No,
I mean, every time.
What's meant to say? Every time, wherever I go, I doubt the Rebbe's not. Shen Yigin Ishbrichu, and the Yishim Bachab, I'll just say, only the Rebbe's. But no, I mean, the Shechina is in Galus, it's all the Yid. I'm sorry.
Of course.
I don't understand.
Shechina Begalus operates.
Okay, I've heard even more.
They're still going to say that this is the Shechina is here, Begalus.
I mean, if you're already speaking this out, so like, what does this mean? What, there's a couple of you. What, I mean, if you're taking it out from the veils of concealment, I don't know. And then you're saying the Shechina remains silent? I don't understand this. The Rebbe's aren't silent. And the Rabbi Shrevi also. I mean,
we'll talk about it later. Dr. Rebbe says, one must harbor an intense love to Hashem alone. And this love expresses itself in the fact that this Jew is interested, l'aseis nachas ruach l'fanav levad, to do what is gratifying to Hashem alone, v'loy l'raveis nafshei atzmei el Hashem, and not for the purpose of quenching his soul's thirst for Hashem. This is what the love expresses itself in. He's interested in fulfilling Hashem's desire and not quenching his spiritual soul thirst. The spiritual thirst of his soul. Ella, rather, he is kibrodish tadal basar avoy ve'imei. Like a child who strives for the sake of his father and mother. Derochim loin yatir migarmei ve'nafshei chuli. Whom the child loves more than his own body and than his own soul. As explained above in chapter 10, citing Raya Mehemna. So despite the fact, I'll explain in a moment. Despite the fact that in order to have this intent, the Jew must experience this level of love and this level of passion and this relationship with Hashem. And this Jew who's learning this chapter in Tanya knows that by no means does he harbor this type of love. Mikolma came nevertheless. Despite the fact that this might be bordering on emotional dishonesty, every person should habituate himself to this intent, to this type of meditation. to evoke within himself a kir, as they say in Hebrew, an ichpatiyut, that it bothers me, and what I care for is that the Kudsha Brichu and Shchinta should unite. And this requires explanation. Is he demanding from a Jew emotional or spiritual dishonesty? Which the Alter Rebbe was very, very cautious about. It's easy to tell people, think about this and start feeling this. And in some cultures and some communities, it happens, especially by younger people, they start imagining to themselves that they're feeling certain things, and then unfortunately there's the age of disillusionment when they realize that I'm feeling nothing and I told myself that I have to feel and therefore I thought I was feeling and so forth. And Alter Rebbe was very weary of that because Karev Elecha, which is the foundation of Tanya, means that Yiddishkeit must be real. It's really real. What I feel, I feel. What I don't feel, I don't feel. What I can't feel, and so forth. And apparently this level, this emotional concern, or even intellectual conviction concern for Yichud, Kudsha Brichu, Shchinta is a very profound level that transcends the ordinary soul. And what does the Alter Rebbe mean here? He addresses it brief, but apparently what he means is as follows. Yeah, well, in another few lines, it'll become clear. In this conclusion, we'll understand the question better. The Alter Rebbe says you should habituate yourself to this meditation. Why? Ki af she'eina be'emes la'amitei legamri b'libay. For though this feeling may not be in his heart in a truly truthful way, so that he should actually long for it with all his heart. True. This might never permeate your heart, but in a very truthful way, that you should really crave for Yichud Kudsha Brichu Shchinti. That's true. Mikol Makayim, nevertheless, Ma'at Mize'er Chafetz Libay Bazeh Be'emes. To some small extent, the Jewish heart genuinely desires it. Ma'at mizeh. To some small extent, not be'emes la'amitai, in the ultimate truth, but be'emes. And so, to some degree of truth. Mipnei, because ha'ava tivis, shebelev kol Yisrael. Because of the inborn love in every Jewish heart. Lashes kol mashu ratzin elyon baruch hu, expressing itself in the fact that he desires to do whatever is the will of Hashem. V'yichud zeh uritzoynei ha'amiti. And this union between Kudsha Brichu and Shchintei is Hashem's true desire. And because of the inborn love, the Jew desires to do everything that's Hashem's desire. And this is Hashem's desire. V'hainu, namely, what are we talking about? Yichud, he now defines what the unity is, which we discussed earlier in our introduction. Yichud ha'elyon shebatzilus, we're talking about a supernal union that occurs in the highest spiritual world, the world of atzilus, the world of closeness. Hanase, which this union between Kudsha Brichu and Shchinte in atzilus, between Leah and Rachel in atzilus, this union is created by Sarus de Latata, by an arousal from below. How is it created by an arousal from below? Al yidei yichud nefesh alikis v'hiskalalusa. Ba'od Hashem hamalubish b'teiru mitzvah sheisekes behen. Through the divine soul union and absorption in Hashem's energy that is closed in the Torah and the mitzvahs in which it is engaged. So that they, the soul and Hashem's energy, become one in reality. Commercial cost of Leilas has been explained above in Tanya at length in chapter 5, in chapter 23, in chapter 37, 35, and other chapters. Through the Jew doing learning Torah, observing the mitzvahs, his soul becomes one with Hashem's intimate energy that is manifested in Torah and mitzvahs. So through this union down here between my soul and Hashem's energy in Torah and mitzvahs, this creates and generates a union in the entire cosmos, and union in all the universes, a union even in the highest world. Why? Ki al yedeze, because through this, misyachadim gamkin, a unity is also achieved between Mekor HaTorah v'Mitzvos Shehu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the source of Torah and Mitzvos, which is Hashem Himself, in Mekor Nafshei HaLikis, with the source of the individual's divine soul, HaNikra B'Shem Shechina, which is called Shechina. The source of my soul and the source of Torah and Mitzvos are united on high. The intimate presence of Hashem and the source of all of the souls, the Shechina, become one. Shehein, what type of unity is needed? So the Alter Rebbe explains. Shehein b'chinas memali kalam and b'chinas shevav kalam. These are the categories in Kabbalah known as memali kalam, filling all the worlds. And shevav kalam, transcending all of the worlds, commercial kalsav b'makam achir, b'arichis, as explained elsewhere at length. The fusion between these two energies, the transcendental, all-encompassing, undifferentiated, undefined energy of Hashem, with the mamalik alam, with the tailored, custom-made, compressed, articulated, limited energy of Hashem, are fused into one. Which is the seed for redemption of the world. The Alter Rebbe discussed in 37 that Mashiach basically means the energy of the mitzvahs of history exposed in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Seiviv Kalalman in response to your question, and Shechina is Mamala Kalalman. Torah and mitzvahs exemplify Seiviv Kalalman, the particular soul exemplifies Mamala Kalalman. And when I do a mitzvah, when I learn Torah, there's who's doing it and there's what he or she is doing. Who's doing it is Shechina. What are they doing? Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Shechina and Kodesh Baruch Hu now become one in all the worlds. There's a moment of clarity. There's a moment of serenity that permeates the entire reality, the entire existence. I don't know if there's such a word, yeah. Yeah, he jumped back. But the Alter Rebbe says, this is all this higher awareness, the craving to connect Kodesh Baruch Hu and Shechinah. But he concludes, Aval Yichud Nafshoi. But the union of the person's own soul with, and its absorption within the energy of Hashem to become one, bazeh, in this relationship, in this unity, chafetz kol adam Yisrael, be'emes la'amite legamri. Every member of the Jewish people desires, in absolute and utter truth, in the utmost definition of truth, b'chal lev u'b'chal nefesh, with all his heart and all his soul, me'ava tivis ha'mesuteres b'lev kol Yisrael, because of the natural intrinsic love that is embedded in every single Jewish heart, l'dafka b'Hashem, a desire to cleave to Hashem, v'loy li pared v'liyes nichras v'nivdol chas v'shalom, me'yichudei v'achdusi yizbarich b'shum eifin, and not under any circumstances, to be parted or sundered or cut off or separated, God forbid, from Hashem's unity and oneness. B'shum eifin, under any circumstances, afilu b'mesiris nefesh mamish, even at the cost of the Jew's very life. That he or she be one with Hashem and remain with Hashem, this every Jew desires with the utmost truth. This is what you might call, I wouldn't call it selfish love, but you would call self-oriented love versus the selfless love addressed above, L'shem Yichud Kodesh Baruch Hu Shechinah. That's why he said, Aval. However, this is a qualification. What did the Alter Rebbe say here?
Before we had Nefesh Al-Kesh, and now we have Nefesh Malach.
You're asking what's nafshay. This is also nafesh alakis, but there's the same nafesh. But there's two types of cravings which we'll discuss right now, presently. There is every single person, or at least every single sane person, desires, craves to live a happy life. To live a meaningful life, to live a serene, a tranquil, a fulfilled life. Every person, whoever you meet on the street, that if this is the basic intrinsic type of person. Every person wants to have a fulfilled life, a serene life, a good, a happy life, a content, a life in which you're content. The question is how? That's the million-dollar question. How do I find meaning? How do I find fulfillment in my life? The Alter Rebbe made his famous claim in the beginning of Tanya, from which he doesn't go away throughout the Tanya, and that is that the only way a man can find true fulfillment, a true meaning in his life is if he or she gets in touch with the godliness that exists within themselves. The Alter Rebbe said, your inner identity, your inner reality, at the core of your personality, is a yearning, is a craving to be absorbed in the oneness of Hashem. The soul seeks transcendence, seeks spirituality, seeks idealism, seeks godliness. To find myself, to discover my inner self, means, from the Alter Rebbe's point of view, to discover my divinity. To rob, to detach myself from spirituality, from godliness, could never work according to the Alter Rebbe, because I'm robbing myself from a connection with my inner self. Now the Alter Rebbe claimed this may be concealed, this may be veiled, this may be layered, this may be covered by layers upon layers upon layers, but as he puts it here in unequivocal terms, b'zeh chafetz kol adam Yisrael be'emes lamiti legam. To be one with Hashem. This every Jew desires in the truest way. He doesn't need ego, he doesn't need politics, he doesn't need gossip, he doesn't need lie. He needs to melt away in the all-pervading truth of Hashem. And this is the core, at the core of his being, at the core of his identity. Hashem, which is at the core of his being as well. That's what I meant. I didn't mean his divinity versus a divinity that transcends man. That it exists within him, that's his core. However, one second. However, one, we are not always in touch with this, as we all know very well. Not necessarily do we even know this on our own. There are people who walk the face of this earth for 80, 90 years and never even imagine to define themselves in this way. The Alter Rebbe says you have to recall this, you have to bring it forth, you have to arouse it, you have to evoke it. If not in your heart always, not necessarily you'll feel it, but at least in your mind. But it's true. This is not a fake attempt. When the Jew gets into this mode, he's not engaging in a mode that's fake, that's inconsistent, that's illusionary, that's dreamlike. We gave the example of a child who has a difficult time learning how to talk. And his mother has to train him and do certain tricks and give him prizes and so forth. And when finally he starts talking, you're not going to say, he's not talking, he's just mimicking his mother. He doesn't speak really. His mother forced him to mimic her. Obviously, no, she just revealed a pre-existing potential. Intrinsic to the Jew is an intense spirituality and godliness that has to be brought out. Spirituality is true. It's true in you. It's your truth. Now this, the Alter Rebbe says, to deal with this, to think about this, to bring this out is totally consistent with who you are. This is intrinsic to your soul. It thirsts for spirituality, it thirsts for godliness. It wants to quench that thirst, and Torah and the mitzvahs is the way to quench that thirst.
Spirituality, they're very happy. Okay. I'm very happy for them. Ich hab noch nicht begegnet als ein Mensch. Mein Leben, I never met such a person, but fine.
And if they didn't succeed in business,
they'd say, I'm a failure, I'm not good, I'm not. Fine. Okay. Let's go on. This is the Alter Rebbe's vision of life. It's just very characteristical. You say there's plenty of people that are happy without it. It's very characteristical that this age, our era, especially in America, is the age of prosperity. Never in the history of mankind has there been such physical prosperity as there has been in this age. But never in the history and the annals of mankind have there been so many therapists and psychologists and psychiatrists and more than 70% of the population going to them. It's not, it doesn't work that way. People intrinsically need spirituality, just like people need love, which is spirituality. People need idealism and so forth and so on and so forth. That's another form. That's a form of spirituality and so forth.
But 90% of the American public do believe in God, according to statistics. So there is some spirituality that they believe in God.
I mean, there's the last 10 or 20 years, there's been an explosion of a yearning and thirst for spirituality and godliness among non-Jews, among Jews, I mean, among the entire world in unprecedented ways.
Remember, it shows that people are lacking in the material world. In other words, there's a lack that it can have, you know, make millions of dollars, but they see that there's a void.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, there's a void. There's a core in our soul, the Alter Rebbe says, that craves Hashem, wants to connect to Hashem. So that's A. But then, in the continuation of the chapter, after that on page 114, the Alter Rebbe begins demanding a new type of awareness, or a new type of desire, a new type of love. That the Jews should care not just that he or she should be connected to Hashem. Which means not just that I should be fulfilled in my life. That my life should be a truthful life, should be a real life, should be a genuine experience. But much more. That the Jew should arouse within himself a passion towards the objective and goal that Hashem's plan in creation should be fulfilled. Not that I should connect with the Shekhinah, but that the Shekhinah should connect with the Shekhinah, so to speak. That the Shekhinah should connect with Kodesh Baruch Hu. Not that I should connect with God, that God should connect with God. That the Shekhinah should connect with Kodesh Baruch Hu. Not that my soul should become one with Hashem, but that the source of all of the souls, that a Jew in Bombay and in Alaska and in Hawaii and even in Williamsburg or in Borough Park should become one with Hashem. That I should care that on a cosmic level there should be the unity between Kodesh Baruch Hu and Shechinte. And the Alter Rebbe says, for me to care about this, I have to experience in my heart a whole other type of love. A love that he defined as Ahava Rabba LaHashem Levadai. On the bottom of 114, awesome love to Hashem alone. What does it mean? Is there a love to Hashem that's not to Hashem alone? What does it mean, a love to Hashem alone? The love that's described in Raya Mehemna as the love of a son, of a child who loves his parents in a special way. Quoting the piece from Raya Mehemna. And I think it's this piece, this quote from Raya Mehemna that gives away, conveys the message. You asked before, what's Raya Mehemna? Raya Mehemna literally means a faithful shepherd. The Zohar, which is the fundamental Kabbalistic text authored by Rav Shimon ben Yochai and his colleagues, contains sections on different, is divided based on the parshiyos of Chumash, and it contains different sections within different parashas that are called Raya Me'emna, because according to the Kabbalistic tradition, those sections were communicated to them by Moshe Rabbeinu, who is known as the faithful shepherd. In Parashas Kisetze, in the Zoya Parashas Kisetze, in the section called Raya Me'emna, Moshe Rabbeinu explains, the faithful shepherd explains to Reb Shimon ben Yochai and his colleagues, the statement that Hashem said. Hashem says that kol ha'isik b'toyro b'gmilas chasadim ha'mespal l'matzibur ki'ilu p'da'ani liyu l'banai mibeinu m'sa'ilam. Somebody who learns Torah, who gives charity, who davens with a minion, it's as though he redeemed me and my children from the nations. It's also Gemara and Brachas Daf Chesam et Aleph. So the Zohar asks, we see that many Jews learn and daven and do charity and nobody was redeemed. And he explains that what he means is a Jew who learns Torah in order to connect the Shechina with Kutcha Brichu. A Jew who davens to connect the Shechina with Kutcha Brichu because the Shechina was separated from Kutcha Brichu like a bride who has been separated from a groom. And this is what Gmilas Chasadim means. He does kindness to the Shechina. He does kindness to Hashem. He redeems and he liberates the Shechina and restores it back to its proper location as one with Kutcha Brichu. And thus the children of the Shechina are also redeemed. Zog de Zayar, Eliyahu Anavi, and all of the Rashi Mesifta, all of the Rashi Shivas, all of the great scholars sitting there, turned to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, faithful shepherd, you are such a type of person. But it's not kindness on your part, it's not Gemilas Chesed, it's an obligation on your part. Because you are a child of Kutcha Brichu and Shchinte, you are a child of the king and the queen, and a child is obliged to commit himself and even sacrifice his life to redeem his father and his mother. Somebody who's not a child and does this, that would be called kindness. A child, it's an obligation. So the Zohar says that Raya Me'emna, the faithful shepherd, stood up and prostrated himself before Hashem and said, may it be the will of Hashem that you consider me like a child, that my accomplishments for the sake of the Shechina should be, and he continues to recite the words that the Rebbe quotes, Kibra, like a child who works on behalf of his father and mother and loves his father and mother more than he loves his own body and his own soul. And Alter Rebbe says, chuli, etc. The Zohar continues, more than he loves his own spirit and his own neshama, his own inner consciousness. And everything he has, he considers naught, just in order to implement the will of his parents and to redeem them. And in the imagery of the Zohar, the powerful imagery at that moment, Kutcha Brichu came and kissed Moshe Rabbeinu and said, Raya Me'emna, faithful shepherd, indeed you are my child and you are the child of the Shechina. And at that moment, Eliyahu and all of the Rosh Hashivas stood up and kissed him as well. Who is Moshe Rabbeinu? One element where you see Moshe Rabbeinu in a very powerful way is in his words in Parashas Shemais, when Hashem chooses him from all people to become the first Rebbe and the first Redeemer to redeem the Jewish people and mold them into a nation and give them the Torah. So Moshe turns to Hashem finally and says, Lo yish dvarim aneichi, I'm not a man of words. Shlach na b'yat tishloch, please send somebody who's more appropriate.